Hello, friends. My name is Virgil Cantrip, and I'm about to take you on a journey. A journey to a place both familiar and distant, both dangerous and welcoming. A land of wasted dreams and of opportunity. A land that I call the United States of Apocalypsia. Together, we are going to meet some fascinating characters, surviving and thriving out there in the waste. Perhaps with their stories and a little help from my trusted Atlas Almanac, we can piece together a story of what happened here, what is happening, and most importantly, what happens next. The breeze carries the sound of horns through the city as they blare out their sweet siren calls. The bright moonlight reflects in the waters ahead of us, and all the lanterns trail behind us, always chasing but never catching the pale, shining orb in the calm waters ahead. We lead the floating armada that is gathered to be several score from pitch to vanguard, as the only requirements to be in this parade are to be willing to share whatever you have, be it music, food, or gifts. Those who do not have access to a boat are gathered along on both sides of the canal, ready to join in the revelry and share in the celebrations. The path leads down winding canals around tight corners through the oldest parts of the city. Incredibly, the bourbon trails closely behind us, navigating corners skillfully, like a long snake winding its way through the reeds, and King Louis is there, commanding from the helm. Even the houses and shops we pass along are decorated from floor to ceiling with signs and lights and lanterns glimmering in the water's reflection and rocking back and forth from the windows and railings above us. Our route takes us all through the city, through the different districts. We move up the sunken quarter, formerly known as the French Quarter according to Ella, to the upper mid-city. The tight canals of the corner are replaced by wide boulevards. The line of ships extends from one boat wide to more than five across, all cascading behind ours in the bourbon. The growing winds push sails forward and carry songs further and further out. The boats behind us have begun throwing goods between each other, and people have begun jumping between the boats, some using cables and ropes to swing from ship to ship. What a sight! It looks like the whole city is floating down the wide boulevard. We move up to the Treme, down Old Canal Street. There seems to be more solid ground here, and taller buildings. What is this route? I ask to Ella, and I recall the king earlier mentioned Neptune's journey. She tells me that this path takes us through the original territory that was unified under the first King Louis. Our ships will make a ring around the city, and we will end at King Louis's palace, the mighty Hera Tower. Otherwise known as Neptune's journey from the heart of the city in the flooded Jackson Square to the King's Palace at the edge of the Southern Sea. As Ella explains, Kane and his band play on, their notes leading a chorus of other players joining throughout the floats. The whole city sings itself alive with song, and suddenly, a gust knocks me off balance. And then, there, all in the revelry, I gazed up at the sky. The pale nightly orb beaming down upon us was gone, hidden behind a swirling sea of mists and clouds. It was then that the first drip hit me, and then another. The skies opened up to release a torrent of rain. The gale winds kick up everything not tied down. Oh my! All throughout the city, lanterns blow out. The darkness of the storm quickly overtakes the city, and the howling wind echoes screams and shouts. The brilliance of light now thoroughly extinguished and replaced by the pale gray-green of the mighty hurricane rising up the waters and winds to batter against the city and its people. Ella responds quickly, throwing down the anchor and grabbing ropes and nets. She tosses a rope to me and tells me, tether myself down and start tethering to Kane and the band, while she tosses hooked ropes to the nearby boats. The increasingly choppy waters knock me off my feet, and I nearly slip off the side, save for the deft hand of Ella, who grabs mine just in time. The bourbon floods the area with shining beams in all directions, and through his loudspeaker, King Louis stands on the figurehead and speaks loudly in a calm, authoritative manner, like a parent talking to a scared kid. He calls out to the citizens of Old New Orleans, Listen, and we will all survive. Quickly, do as the Neptune here, and he points to our ship. He orders them to throw their anchors down, toss their nets and ropes to each other, tether your boats together and tether yourselves to your boats, and he calls out, "Together we will weather the storm." And he repeats those comforting words to the scared populace, "Together we will weather the storm." And like that, the people, in the middle of chaos and panic, calm down and work steadfastly to toss every cord and rope to each other, tying them together wherever they could. Together, the flotilla quickly became a patchwork of ships connected like a quilt blanketing the water's surface. Now moving together as one mighty ship, tossing about in the choppy waters, swaying in the wind but never fully going under. As wave after wave crashed into our floating city, we stood. The howling wind battered against us, knocked us down but never knocked us over. Cain and his bandmates never stopped playing, not for a second. Indeed, songs calling out from all of the bands never stopped playing, loudly and defiantly at the storm. The storm raged for hours, and the band played on. I had never held on to anything tighter in my life than I held to my tether wrapped around me in my pack. I held to the almanac and Hamlet snugly. I hope my broadcast is reaching you, friends, because Apocalypsia is live from the storm of the century. The winds have howled at us and raged for hours, wave after wave come crashing down over us. And as it continues raging and swelling, even worse than before, the swirling cyclone calmed, and a massive hole in the sky began to hover directly above us. A moment of calm washed down over the city. For a moment, the winds around us hushed. The early morning rays peered down through the epicenter of the storm and shined directly upon us. In this moment of clarity, everyone grew silent. The bands fell silent. The cries fell silent. The wind, too, seemed finally out of breath. It was then that Ella began to sing. 'Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue and the road was full of mud, and Cain and his bandmates joined in singing with her. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, and I joined in. I'll give you shelter from the storm. Then King Louis himself began to sing with us. The whole floating city before me began to sound out a choir, singing the words of that great bard of time gone by, Dylan. The sun's warming gaze through the clouds would not last. The wall of swirling mists closed in around us. On every boat patched together we held on. This time we held on in silence, save for the howling wind and nature's crying song. We huddled together, clutched in the silence, each of us holding on to that which was most important. Cain held on tightly to his great-grandmother, his bandmates, and his trumpet. They, in turn, held on to each other and their instruments. I gripped tightly to my pack, my almanac, and my new friends whose story I share with you now. I looked down at Ella, who smiled at all of us and closed her eyes restfully. She does not open them again. The storm breaks as suddenly as it came upon us. Rays of dawn push their way through the veil of clouds. An opening in the sky lets a gentle beam cast down upon us. Ella lies down, arms crossed, smiling, surrounded by her family, her city, her home. Cain, tears streaming down his face, begins to sing, "A Place in the Sun," by another of the great bards of Ella's day. I stand in silence. The city stands in silence. The storm, broken and subsiding, stands in silence. As Cain belts out those final soulful notes, he says goodbye. Goodbye, Ella. You were a friend and mother to us all. Thank you for opening the door to your home to me and to all of us out in the wastes. We have seen little kindness in the world like that which you heaped so generously unto all that you have done and everyone you have met. Everyone, still holding on to their loved ones, began to shuffle about again on their ships, unhooking their tethers. And it was then that King Louis returned to the loudspeaker. He shouted out, "We will continue the parade. The journey is not over. And though we have weathered the storm and had to say our goodbyes, we will march on further. Carrying the memories of the dead with us, we continue today's parade for those whose lives and love we still carry." And the parade continued. It was now a somber event. The bands played on mournfully, and the people's revelers carousing turned into sincere smiles and embraces. The storm came as a reminder of the fragility and impermanence that faces us all. We passed by areas of open space. Every now and again, tall trees stretched out over them. I asked Kane if those were old parks, and he tells me that those were the old above-ground cemeteries of the city of New Orleans, the old one, Ellis City. We still use them today. We send our dead back to the sea, send them down into Neptune's domain, lower them down over the old resting places. Is that where Ella will go? And Kane looks down at Ella before returning my gaze. He takes a deep breath and sighs. She will go to join her ancestors. We will take her to Oddfellow's Rest. In that instant, the Bourbon pulled alongside our ship, and a gangplank extended down, and King Louis himself stepped across the bridge onto our deck. He took off his mask and even his crown and cradled them under his hulking arm. I follow Kane and his bandmates to take a knee as the king approaches. I introduce myself as Virgil Cantrip, the Chronicle Traveler, here to document the stories of old New Orleans. He nods his head at me and returns to Kane. "Hello, Kane," the king says, his tone gentler and softer than before. "Your great-grandmother Ella was an anchor to this city. She was a teacher and mother to so many of us. She taught many lessons to me, and even to my father, on how to be good kings and good men. It burdens me to see you lose the last family you had left, but I am grateful to see you surrounded by men closer than brothers to you." And he motions to the Neptunes. "Kane, we would like to send Ella to Neptune with you. The whole kingdom would like to say goodbye. Will that be all right with you?" And Kane nods to his king. "We take the whole parade with us to Oddfellow's Rest. The Neptune still leads with the Bourbon pulling alongside." There we stopped, under the shade of a gnarled, centuries-old willow tree, reaching out above the water. Kane and the king together dive into the water to lower Ella's body into the sea. Her smile never falters as she sinks below the surface into Neptune's domain. Back on deck, King Louis begins to step across the gangplank to his ship. He turns back. "Kane, she belongs to the sea now," he says, and then adds, "You, the Neptunes, and your new friend Virgil are all invited to join me for the feast after the parade.